You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wells Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
You know, I'm just sitting there thinking as we were giving praise and glory to God. And I was thinking about the man of God that has been placed right here. And I was thinking about the anointing that flows through him as he preaches and as he ministers the Word of God. And I thought, it's awesome when you have the opportunity to stand in the place where he has stood. Preach in the place where he has preached. It's kind of like Wigglesworth said one time. He was staying at these people's house, and a man of God had been there. And he was an anointed man of God. So he was coming in to stay. And the hostess of the place where he was going to stay said she was going to go in, change the sheets, and change the bed. He said, oh no, don't change the sheets. I want that anointing. I want to sleep in that anointing. I want to... Don't change a thing. I want the anointing of God upon me that he had upon him. And I want the anointing of God that's on our pastor. I want the anointing of God of the men who passes through this church to be upon me. I want the anointing of God to be upon me. Folks, that should be our cry. That should be our love. That should be our prayer. Lord, just pour the anointing upon us. Over in Acts chapter 2, verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. There's two times in that scripture that says pour out. Folks, we're in the time of the pouring out of the Holy Ghost. We're in the time of the pouring out of the Spirit of God. We're in the time when a little dribble is not going to do anymore. A little bit here and a little bit there is not going to do. It's not going to work. We're in the time when God wants to pour. He wants to open up the windows of heaven and pour those blessings out upon us. He wants to pour the anointing upon us. He wants to pour the increase on us. He wants to pour the things in our life that we need. He does not want to just a little bit here and a little bit there. I'm tired of the little dab here and a little dab there. I want the whole full anointing of God on my life. I want the Spirit of God to walk upon, to be upon me. I want to be able to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I want to be able, when somebody is sick, somebody is hurting, that we can go to them and we can see an immediate answer to their prayers. It's a time of sudden. It's a time of sudden move of the Holy Ghost. Man, I tell you what, I can't keep tears rolling down me this morning when I think about the anointing. As I was spending time in prayer last night and thinking about what I wanted to preach this morning, and that's not what I wanted to preach. But God had begun to deal with me about the lack of the anointing of God upon His people. He began to deal with me, myself personally, that I had not been spending the time that I need to spend with Him. I've been spending too much time looking at the things of the world, looking at the economy, looking at things that the world's crisis. But folks, we're not in the world's crisis. We're in God's idea right now. We're in God's movement. We're not in the crisis that the world. We shouldn't even look at the world is not. They're in a different ball game out there. But God says, I've anointed each and every one of you to preach the gospel. I have anointed each and every one of you to carry my work out that I left here for you to do. I didn't leave it for somebody else to do. I left it for you. I left it for you. I left it for you. And when evil times comes upon us, when evil reports come, we need to back away from those. We need not to look at those. We need to spend more time manifesting and addressing the things of God. Because that's where our answer is. Brother, Frank in the Sunday school class this morning was talking about answers to prayer. Folks, we'll get answers to prayer when we spend time in God. When we spend time in prayer, when we spend time in praying, when we spend time in studying and meditating on the things of God instead of meditating on the things of the world. You want to know where our source is? Our source is from heaven. Right. It's not from the White House. The power is not in the White House. It's in my house. Amen. Right here. Amen. I have the responsibility. I have the authority. Yeah. Right. I have the anointing. God didn't give it just to Amanda or Tommy or a pastor. He gave the anointing to each and every one of us. Each one of us that are filled with the Holy Ghost, He said, I will endue you with power from on high when you are filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes. And He said, with that you can cast out devils. Yes. With that you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
Right.
And with that, you have the power. I want to turn to a scripture here. I believe it's in Luke. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread. I like that word tread. It says mastery. Absolute mastery is what that means. I got a little bit of a absolute mastery to tread. Have you ever had a nice yard out there and you had a dog out there and that dog went over and over and over that same place all the time? Or you had a pasture out there where the cows was walking and they would walk the same place all the time. What they're doing, they're treading that grass down. They're treading it down. They're taking absolute mastery over that grass that's trying to grow. Well, that's what He says we have. We have, behold, I give unto you power, which is the authority to have absolute mastery on serpents and scorpions and over all the power, and there's that power again, over the ability, over all of the ability of the enemy. All the ability of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice that the spirits are subject unto you. That's why that we should have the anointing of God upon us. So that when we face the enemy, when situation comes in our life, we can look that enemy dead in the eye and you can know that you have the power and the authority to command it to go. When finances are not going quite the way you want them, you have a little lack in your life. Hey, listen. We're not in lack. I'm telling you right now. We're not in lack. You know, one of the things that the devil likes to do, and I like what the pastor said here a while back. He was talking about the battle is not necessarily with me and Tommy or with me and the devil. You know what the battle is? The battle's right here. It's faith. It's battle in the mind. It's believing. It's a battle to believe for a sickness that you can't see an end to. It's hard to believe for finances when you can't see the other end of that situation. But you see, we don't need to be looking at that. We need to be looking at God's plan, because God's plan is on the end of this thing, you win.
That's right.
If you can just stand firm on it and be consecrated in it and be tenacious in your faith, strong in faith, you'll win. We can't give any place to the devil. If you deal with fear, you have to deal with unbelief, and your faith is not very strong. No word, no faith. You don't spend any time in the word, you're not going to have faith. But you know what? You're not going to have the word to fight with. You're not going to have the power and the anointing in your life. If you can take the word of God, which is what Jesus used to defeat the devil, if you can take the word of God, you can find it in the Scripture. It's ever been done in the Scripture, then it has to be done again. Because God said, I am not a, what did he say? Respect of persons. I don't like him any more than I like you. I didn't like the people in the old patriarch. I didn't like the people in the Old Testament any better than I like the ones over here in the New Covenant. If I ever did it for that person, then I've got to do it again. Now, how's he going to do it? He's going to do it through us believing and the faith that we have in that he can do that. If we're not operating in fear, then the devil can't operate in our lives. Right? It takes fear in order for him to manifest anything. But it takes faith in order for God to manifest his word. You know what? When there's no fear, we paralyze the devil. The devil don't know what to do if there's not fear, because that's what he does. He comes in and creeps into us and tries to put fear in our life that this is not going to happen. We're not going to be able to eat this week. Money's not going to come in to pay this bill. Or, you know, I don't know how I'm going to pay that hospital bill. Or I don't know if I can get out of bed tomorrow. I've been so sick. And he puts that fear in there that you're not going to make it. He puts that fear in there that you're going to die during famine. He puts that fear in there that there's no chance. But God says, behold, I give you the power to tread upon the serpents and the scorpions and over all the ability of the enemy. All the ability of the enemy. That means everything. Breakthrough won't come from just the word of God. But it'll come from the word from God. If we spend more time in the word of God, spend more time with him in the word of God, then we will get a word from God. And when we get a word from God, then we have direction. We have wisdom. We have knowledge. We have answers. Amen. You know, if we're looking for something to do, we're looking for God to move in our lives, we need to start hearing the voice of God. You know, God spoke to, back in the Old Testament, he used to come down and speak with them and quite often, visit with them. I think he desires to still do that. But you know what? We're too busy. We got too many things in our life. I'll guarantee I've got too many things in my life. We don't find time to spend 30 minutes a day to pray. We don't find time to spend 30 minutes a day. And I'm not saying 30 minutes, that's not very much. To read the Bible. And we don't spend time listening for him to talk to us. Sometimes we're spending more time talking about situations we're in, about the circumstances we're under, about fixing to go under, and you know, they're going to take my house away, and they're going to take my cars away, and they're going to, well, let them take them away. God has got another one. Right? You think it's the only car he's got? You think it's the only house he's got? He's got others. And he wants you to have them. Whew. You know, we're in the increase mode. We're not in the lack mode, folks. We're not moved by what we see, but we are moved by the living Word of God. We are going to operate in faith and not by sight, praise God. Turn with me to Psalms 33, verse 18 and 19. Oh, hallelujah. God loves us. God loves us in the word that he gives us sometimes. Verse 18, chapter 33 says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, that respect him, that honor him, that hope. Let me read that again. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their souls from death and to keep them alive in famine. Do you think if famine comes on this land that you're going to starve to death? Ain't going to happen. Not if you believe in God. Psalms 37, verse 18. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. There shall not be they shall not be ashamed in the evil time. How many of you believe we're running into evil time right now? Especially if you listen to the news, you think that there's evil times out there. They shall not be ashamed in evil time, and in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. Amen. Are you satisfied this morning? Huh? All your needs met this morning? Are you satisfied? Everyone say, I'm satisfied.
I'm satisfied.
I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. You know, the Word is our final authority. All argument stops right here with the Word. Fear wants to get you to think that the promises won't come to pass. The enemy wants you to be afraid that you won't live through the famine. He wants you to be afraid you won't be satisfied during famine. But I'm here to tell you today, it says you will be satisfied in the midst of your financial crisis. You will be satisfied during famine. You'll be satisfied when your job shut down. You'll be satisfied when things don't go your way. God will make you satisfied.
Amen.
Are you satisfied? See, that's the way we've got to look at things. It just doesn't make any difference. God is going to provide for us. Go with me to Deuteronomy. Chapter 2. For the Lord thy God, verse 7, for the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through the great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked What?
Nothing.
Nothing. He said, I've been with you 40 years. I've been with you 40 years and you didn't lack anything. I provided you water. I provided you food. I provided you clothes. I gave you direction. I gave you wisdom. I gave you shelter. You didn't lack anything for 40 years. So I believe we can just start from right now and look 40 years from now, because if we found it one time in the Bible, we can find he'll do it again, right? So we ought to be able to just look at 40 years of no lack, right? I can believe that. I don't think I'm going to be here 40 years because I think the rapture's coming. But until he comes, I think I can walk in no lack. I think I can walk in the favor of God. I think I can walk in his riches and his blessings. And you know, blessings and it's not all about money, folks. It's about being satisfied with your life. It's about being satisfied with what you're doing for God. If you do the things for God, if you're satisfying God, if you're being satisfied in what you're doing for God, then God will satisfy the rest of the things that you need. He said, if you'll put me first, all these things I will add unto you. You know, we get to worrying sometimes, and worrying is not something we want to get into. It's just another phase of fear. But I like this. It says, worrying is negative meditation on the word that contradicts God's word. Spending more time meditating on something that opposes God's word and not enough time meditating on what God said and meditating on what his promises were. You know, we'll read the word, and the word will give us some direction, give us some wisdom, give us some knowledge, and give us a word for today. And boy, we walk outside, and we get to the job, and the first thing you know, you're hit with something, and you say, uh-oh. Now you're starting to look on the other side of the fence. That's to say, God, this is the day that you've made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is your day. This is the day you made for me. And I'll rejoice in it. I don't care what happens tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen next month. I don't know what's going to happen next year. I don't know when that money's coming in. I know it's coming in, but you know what? This is the day. If I can get through this day, if I can walk this day and please you, then tomorrow will take care of itself. So when tomorrow gets here, it'll be today. Then we can take those blessings and depend on those for that day. Take one day at a time. So many times we want to take a month at a time. We got these big planners. I know when I was working, I used to have a daily planner. I had to put something in there for every hour, every meeting that I had, because if I didn't, I would miss one somewhere. Something would come up that I didn't make. And I'd sometimes have to plan those things out a week at a time, a month at a time, sometimes even 6 months out for things. But you know what? Today is the day of salvation. Today is a day of glory. Today is the day of anointing. Today is the day of provision. Amen. Today is the day of increase. Today is not the day of lack. It's the day of having what God has promised us. And you know, can you imagine going 40 years and those guys, those people murmured and grumbled out there all the time about their situation, even to the point sometimes that they said, oh, we wish that we were back in Egypt, you know, doing that hard labor and what, and you know, you brought us out here to die, Moses. But you know, they were looking at the circumstances in the situation. What they weren't looking at is that rock that provided the water for them, for millions of people. They wasn't looking at that manna that was coming from heaven, feeding them every day. They wasn't thinking about the clothes that they were wearing. They didn't have to go down to Walmart and get any more. Every time a new holiday comes up, got to have something new for today. Father's Day. We've been blessed. God wants us to have the best. He wants us to be the best. He wants us, when we walk around town or in the malls, He wants us to shine. He wants us to stand out. Because there's people out there that are hurting. There's people out there that need to know who you are. They need to know if your light is shining. Because they need what you have. We all walk there at some point in time in our life. We have not all been holier than thou. We've all brought baggage to the cross. But the blood of Jesus has washed them clean. He said, I have forgot them, I forgave them, and I want you to forget them, and I want you to forgive them as well. And if you do that, you discard all that baggage, you get all cleaned up, then you can walk with Him on a daily basis. And you can walk with Him with the power and with the anointing and with nothing holding you back. Because the devil can get you to fear, and he can get into your mind, he can change the way you think and the way you act. But if we get out of fear, and if we'll get grounded on the Word of God, then we will see victory in our lives. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, now we've seen a little bit on what's happened in the Old Testament. Let's go to Luke chapter 9. Get anything out of this morning? Well, if you're not, I am. Luke chapter 9. Let's go to verse 1. Now Jesus called, he said, then he called, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power. There's that word power again. The ability over the enemy, power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Now he didn't say just one devil, he said all devils. And he said to cure diseases. He sent them out to do that. Now, if he sent those 12 out, do you not think that he has sent us out to do the same thing? Because he said that we are to do the same thing that he did. So he has sent them out, so he expects us to go out and do what they did. But that's not what I want to center in on. He said, and he sent them out to preach. We're all preachers. The kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So that meant he didn't want anybody sick. He wanted to cure all diseases. He had compassion for those that were sick and afflicted. He wanted them to walk whole. Because if you're sick and afflicted, you can't get your mind completely, totally, 100% on God. Because you keep concentrating on this sickness over here on the side. So you're meditating on this problem and not God. So if he gets you whole and gets you free, get your mind straight, then you can spend time with him, and you can concentrate on him, and then the anointing and the power of God can come upon you to do exactly what they did. That's right. Right? He says, take nothing. Now, I want you to listen here. He sent them out to preach. Now, there's not many preachers today that would probably do that, but he says, I'm sending you out to preach. I'm sending you out to lay hands on the sick, and I want them to recover. I want you to cast out demons, but here's what I want you to do. Take nothing. Don't take anything for your journey. Don't take your staffs, your script, or your wallet. Neither bread. Don't take any food with you. And neither money. Well, that meant the disciples must have had some money, right? They told them not to take it with them. So if that's broke, they wouldn't have any to take with them, right? Neither take two coats apiece. Just take one. And whatsoever house that you enter into, there abide and thence depart. And whosoever shall not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now they went out to preach and to minister and do God's work. And God told them, don't you take anything with you. Now why did he do that? He told them to go because he was going to teach them that their source was through him. What they needed, he was going to provide. Amen. What they needed, he was going to provide. They needed food, he was going to provide it for them. They needed money, he had provided for them. They needed another coat, they'd give it to him. He wanted to teach them what the source. So that's what he's trying to teach us today. Go out and don't take any baggage with you. Don't take none of this stuff that drags you down. Don't take none of this stuff that holds you back. I want you to go in power. I want you to go in authority. I want you to go under the anointing. I want you to go and let me be the source. Let me be the one that provides the answer. Yes. And provide you with the things that you need. See, a lot of times, we think we need a lot. But quite honestly, God will give us what we need. And if we'll let him provide it, it'll be a lot better. It'll last a whole lot longer. And it'll do a lot more. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22, verse 35. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Folks, if we could just look through God's eyes at his people and understand, I guess since this is Father's Day, I could bring that out, that we as fathers, if we see one of our children that is in need, that really is struggling, we know if we have the means, we know we can help them. Mm-hmm. And we see it through our eyes because we have the wisdom, we have the knowledge, we've grown up, and they haven't quite got there yet, and we can see the situations that they're fixing to get into, or we can see the things that they need, and we want to help them. But in our own mind, a lot of times we'll say, if they would just understand this, if they just knew this, they wouldn't do what they're fixing to do. I'm sure God looking down and said, you know, if they would just grab a hold of my word, if they just take this scripture right here and they would just believe me and trust me that it would happen, then they would have it. But instead, they read it, they meditate on it for 5 minutes, and then they're gone, and then something comes up, and they revert back to what they was thinking, or what they were believing before. And he knows he can help you. But you know what? It's up to us. It's up to us. But listen to this. Luke chapter 22, verse 35. And he said, now, here's what happened after they came back. There's other accounts in there where they came back and they told God that, you know, even the devils were subject to us. And boy, I mean, they were so excited that they were able, they had the power to go out there and cast out those demons. And boy, they were excited about it. But here's what Jesus said. Verse 35, and he said unto them, I can just see him saying, hey, you remember when I sent you out? When I sent you out without your purse, without your wallet, without your shoes? Here's a question. Lacked you anything? And they said, nothing. When I sent you out without anything, I sent you out and told you not to take anything with you. Did you lack anything? When they come back, did you lack anything? Is there any provision that you needed that you didn't have? They said, no, Lord, nothing. I didn't lack nothing. See, he wants us to totally, totally depend upon him. And I've got my papers so messed up I'll never find the end to. But your source is God. We know who our source is. Your source is not your job. You know, God is like a supply house. He's got this big room here, and he's got everything we need in this room. And you can take this ticket up to the counter, cash register there, say, I need this right here. And who's ever behind that cash register? So, okay, that's been paid for. Go back there and pull it off the shelf and hand it to him. Jesus has already paid for it. It's already there. All we got to do is go to the supply house and get it. But you know the trip to the supply house, or the trip to go select it. We get detained because we listen to the enemy. Wow. God loves you this morning. God wants you to be well. He wants you to have, he wants you to be with no lack. He wants you to be without fear. Because remember what I said a while ago. If you are without fear, you paralyze the devil. If that devil can't get into your mind, he can't do anything. Because we have the power, we have the authority over his ability to get anything done. God has given that to us. I don't think we understand just how much we have. We don't understand what that power and authority means. It means you have all the power in heaven, all the power of God behind you to make this happen. No matter what. No matter what. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.